Revelation and chapter 2, Revelation and chapter 2, and we're going to read the letter to the church in Smyrna. So we begin at verse 8, Revelation chapter 2, starting to read at verse 8. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. So we turn to this second letter in the letters from the Lord of the Church to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Let me see if I can put the picture up on the screen again. It's not happening, Gareth. Ah, there we go. Just to remind you, if you need reminding, of where the seven churches are located. Last week, we looked at the letter to the church in Ephesus, and we saw how that it had lost its first love, and we spent some time thinking about what that actually amounted to, and I argued that their first love that they had lost amounted to a neglect of witnessing to Jesus. They had lost their love of evangelism, their love, their desire to reach the unsaved for the Lord Jesus. Well, they needed to repent of that and do the things that they had done at first. Tonight, as we look at this second letter, I want to give you a title to my message. It's simply this: don't fear, be faithful. Don't fear, be faithful. We can see, can't we, that this church was a suffering church. It was a church that was made up of folk that were poor and found themselves afflicted. Look at what we read in verse 9, the first part of verse 9. Jesus says, I know your afflictions and your poverty. Once you became a Christian in those days, in that part of the world, you were likely to have found finding or keeping employment difficult. In fact, one commentator I read this week suggested that the moment you became a Christian, you were in danger of losing your employment. You can imagine, can't you, that the hardships that would have brought with it. Even today, in the society when we live, we know that the loss of employment can create a considerable amount of stress or anxiety. I've experienced it myself, and I know what it's like. How are the bills going to be paid? How is food going to be put on the table? And so on and so forth. But not only were they poor and afflicted, they were also slandered. Again, look at verse 9. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. There were probably lots of Jews that had moved to this city because it was a center of commerce. It was a place where money could be made. But notice that Jesus says that they are those who say that they are Jews and are not. Makes you wonder, doesn't it, at a quick glance, whether they knew what nationality they were. Well, of course they knew what nationality they were. The point that Jesus is making is this, that they thought that they were the people of God. They thought that they were the children of God, when in fact they were not. On the contrary, as Jesus says, they were a synagogue of Satan. They were not God's people. They were Satan's people. Indeed, they were a people whose father was the devil. And you may remember Jesus saying something very similar to the religious Jews in John chapter 8. Let me remind you of these verses. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own, God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any one of you prove me guilty of sin if I am telling the truth? Why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." And you may recall that the Jews weren't too impressed by the words of Jesus. They wanted to insist that they had a father whose name was Abraham. What gives someone the right to call themselves a child of God? Well, it's not being born a Jew, is it? What gives you the right to call yourself a child of God is being born again of the Spirit and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me remind you of what John said in his Gospel, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. "Yet to all who did receive him," that is Jesus, "to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So here we find these believers, Gentile and Jewish, being persecuted by unbelieving Jews. But in these verses, we see that Jesus warns this persecuted church, this suffering church, of more suffering ahead. These are the words of Jesus to them in verse 10. "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. I don't think we're to understand those 10 days as being 10 literal days. Jesus is simply talking about a period of time, a fixed period of time. He's going to go on and speak about the 11th day, but we'll get to that in just a little while. I think we can be confident that it would be the Romans that would put them into prison as a result of the slanderous accusations of the unbelieving Jews. Yet behind it all, Satan, the great accuser of the brethren, would be operating. What other forms of persecution they would suffer? in due time. We are not told. But we do know that around this time, Christians were thrown to the wild animals and burnt at the stake. And it is believed that Polycarp, a disciple of the Apostle John, was the bishop of Smyrna around this time. And therefore, his personal story might give us some idea as to what these believers were in for. Let me read to you something of his story. This venerable leader was burned at the stake in the year AD 155. He had been asked to say, "Caesar is Lord," but refused. Brought to the stadium, the proconsul urged him, saying, "Swear, and I will set thee at liberty. Reproach Christ." Polycarp answered, 86 years I have served him, and he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my king and saviour?" When the proconsul again pressed him, the old man answered, "Since thou art vainly urgent that I should swear my fortune to Caesar and pretendest not to know who and what I am, hear me declare with boldness, I am a Christian." A little later, the proconsul answered, "I have wild beasts at hand. To these I will cast thee, except thou repent. I will cause thee to be consumed by fire, seeing thou despisest wild beast, if thou wilt not repent." And Polycarp said, "Thou threatenest me with fire, which burneth for an hour, and after a little while is extinguished. But thou art ignorant of the fire of the coming judgment and of eternal punishment, reserved for the ungodly. But why tarriest thou? Bring forth what thou wilt." Soon afterwards the people began to gather wood and faggots, the Jews especially, according to custom, eagerly assisting them. Thus Polycarp was burned at the stake. So here we find a suffering church, and a church that was told by its Lord that further suffering was in store for them. But we do see encouragement here, don't we, from the Lord to these people. I see a number of encouragements. Let me impress some of them upon us. Firstly, you may be poor materially, but be mindful that you are rich. Verse 9, "I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich." Rich in the things that really matter. Rich in grace. Rich in spiritual blessings. Some of you will be familiar with a guy called Rico Tice. He served at All Souls, Langham Place, for quite a number of years. He may still even do that, I'm not entirely sure. But he's the guy wrote the Christianity Explored course and presents material in the DVDs or the videos that go with it. And I remember listening to him speaking once. I can't remember exactly where it was, but he said that he was in his little old Fiesta, a bit of a banger, and he pulled up to some traffic lights in London, and then someone of a similar age to him pulled up beside him, and he had this, you know, wonderful posh new car. And in that moment, he said he felt a little poor. But then he reminded himself